Today's Bible reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 67 to 80, which is the end of the chapter, and it can be found in the Church Bible on page 1458. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in his house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hates us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, today is our last talk in our Advent series in the lead up to the coming of the Lord, the birth of the Lord Jesus on Christmas Day. And so it's a great passage. It's a passage that I feel like we don't preach on that often, but it's good. And so why don't we pray that God would help us understand it and apply it to our hearts and minds. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage. Thank you that it reminds us of the great hope that you've come to offer us, your people, at Christmas time, that very first Christmas. And Lord God, we thank you for Zechariah's excitement at this news, and help that be infectious. Help us catch something of that excitement of the news of that first Christmas as well, and its significance for us. So we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I don't know if this has been your experience, but mine recently has been that my social media feeds have just been absolutely inundated with photos of my friends' kids' achievements. I don't know if you've seen that. It's sort of that time of year, isn't it? It's the end of the school term, and everyone's having their awards nights or awards days, and so I've gotten to see like all the academic awards that my friends' kids have achieved throughout the year. But more than just academic awards, this is the time of year where like all the captains are chosen for next year. So I now know which of my friends' children are going to be school captains or sports captains or arts captains or whatever. There's loads of captains, it turns out, these days. Never had an arts captain at my school, but that's fine. And more than that, it's like it just keeps going, right? It's sort of there's all the Christmas performances, and so... And then all the beginning and end of school photos. I don't know if you've seen those comparison photos that have been floating around. I've seen quite a lot of them. Now, as a parent, it's completely understandable, isn't it, that you want the world to know how great your children are. I mean, that's just really natural. But maybe, I don't know, has that been your experience? Have you been posting those photos? Have you been sharing some of that stuff? Or have you been on the other end of the spectrum? You're like, oh, I kind of want everyone to know, but I feel conflicted. Like, is that boasting? I don't know. Maybe you feel a bit more tension around that. Well, I sort of raise this because over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the coming of the Lord as we lead up to Christmas and the birth of Jesus. And in the passage we're looking at today, we discover a father who, like many of my friends, is absolutely stoked at what his son is going to get to do. But who's even more excited about what his son gets to be part of, which is actually much greater than his son. God's plan to redeem his people. That's what gets him really excited. Now, you might be really proud of your kids' achievements, or maybe not. But regardless, I think Zechariah shows us all something that we can be deeply thankful for at this time of year. and something that we can all be really excited for. Something that very first Christmas points us towards. The fact that God has come to redeem his people. That he's come to restore us to what we were made for. So let's turn to these words of Zechariah in the hopes that we too might discover a reason for excitement this Christmas season, just like he had. So let's jump in. Well, the first thing we see is that Zechariah is excited because God is coming to redeem his people. We see this in verse 68. Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now, Zechariah is saying this and prophesying this after the birth of his son, John. Zechariah, we find out, is filled with the Holy Spirit and he begins to prophesy. But the first thing out of Zechariah's lips doesn't concern his son directly. But the whole sweep of what God's doing, which does include his son, and it gets to that a little bit later, but for now, Zechariah's focus is on praising God because he's come to redeem his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for them. It's sort of weird language, but it's talking about a leader, a ruler over God's people who would come from the house of David. Zechariah here is riffing on the very old biblical theme of redemption here. It goes all the way back to the very beginning of God's people, the Jews, when they found themselves in slavery in Egypt. They were enslaved by the pharaohs and they were forced to build pyramids and all sorts of other things in ancient Egypt. They were forced to serve the Egyptian gods. And yet into that situation, God steps in. And he redeems his people from Egypt. That's the language used. It means he's basically taken them out of slavery. He brings them out from under the pharaohs. He brings them out from the Egyptian idolatry that they were facing to be his very own people. And then he settles them in their own land where they were to serve him. And as they did that, they were meant to be a light to the nations around them. And they were supposed to show God's love and holiness. Yet, if you're familiar at all with the story of God's people in the Old Testament, they never really lived up to that. They were brought out of slavery to Pharaoh, but it turns out they had a far deeper master that they were slaves to. They were slaves to their own sinful hearts, their own sinful desires. And the history of the Old Testament shows that God's people have always needed a far deeper, far more radical form of redemption. They needed redemption from their own sinful hearts. And with the birth of John, Zechariah is seeing the first rays shining over the horizon. He knows he's on the very cusp of the dawn of God's redemption. This is why he's so excited, and this is why he's prophesying. In the events that he's seeing unfold in his very own family, he's not only seeing the millennia-old promises to his great far-off grandfather Abraham, he's also seeing God keep his covenant with his Old Testament people being fulfilled. We see this in verses 72 and 73. But he's fulfilling these for a very specific purpose. We see this in verses 74 and 75. He's doing this to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. You see, God promised to Abraham all the way back in Genesis 12, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that all the nations would be blessed through him. And through his descendants. Later on in their history, after their redemption from Egypt, God told them how this would be. If God's people lived the way that he called them to live, they would be that blessing. They would be a light to the nations. They would be this beacon of God's love and holiness. But as I said, they never lived up to that. Yet here, Zechariah sees that they finally will. This final act of God's redemption will at last enable them to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all their days. What their sinful hearts seem to always stop them from doing, God finally will enable. They will finally display God's plan for all humanity. They will finally be the true image of God. They will finally be that blessing to the world that they were made to be, that they were saved to be. This is why Zechariah was so excited. This is what he sees coming. Now, I'm not much of an environmentalist, but one of the things that always gets me is when I see oil spills, and for whatever reason, particularly the birds. This is a photo that National Geographic put out back in 2020, and this was commemorating 10 years since the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico that happened in 2010. And the article was about the ongoing effects of it. They're still being felt, even 10 years later. And as I said, I don't know what it is about seeing birds in this sort of state that just, it breaks my heart. Because birds, they were made to fly, right? They were made to feel the wind in their wings. And yet when they're covered in this greasy black oil, they find themselves grounded. They can't do what they were designed for. All they can do is just crawl along the ground. A pitiful shadow of what a bird is meant to be. But when you see birds like this collected and then cleaned up, nursed back to health, and then released to be able to fly again, there's just something beautiful about that, isn't there? And this is why Zechariah is so excited here. Because he actually sees that this is what God's about to do for his people. Our sin is like that clinging oil. It stops us being and doing what we were made for. And yet God's coming. He's about to step down into human history from Zechariah's perspective, take hold of his people and wash them clean, so they can finally live the way that he designed them to. We can finally serve him in holiness and righteousness all our days, he says. Now, when I say those words, it sounds super religiously, right? Holiness and righteousness. Sounds like we might need robes to do that or something. But that's not it at all. It's actually all of God's people gathered, loving God the way that they were designed to, and loving each other perfectly like they were designed to. It's a really beautiful idea. Can you imagine a world where everyone is doing that? Where everyone's living like that? That'd be a world where there was no loneliness at Christmas time. Where there was no car theft. Where there was no police shootings. That's the kind of world that we were made to live in. And it's that world that God's final redemption will bring about. That's why Zechariah is so excited. He saw that he was on the cusp of seeing this happen in the coming birth of Jesus. Yet what Zechariah didn't know was that the full completion of this work of redemption would actually be a two-stage process. All he could see was the full and final result of that redemption. However, from our perspective, we can see that this work of redemption has started. It's absolutely started, but it's not yet finished yet. I spoke about this last week. All of us who have put our faith in Christ, we're actually starting even now to see some of the glimpses of this work of redemption. We see this in our very own lives. We actually discover that we want to love God. We actually want to do things that please him. We want to go to church. We want to be an encouragement and love our brothers and sisters. We want to love our neighbors. We might even find ourselves giving things up because we want others to know about Jesus. Now, we won't always do these as much as we should or as consistently as we would like. I mean, we still very much feel that oily cling of our sin. But even now, we get to glimpse the evidence of this work of redemption taking place, even now. This work of redemption has started. God's already started to wash the oil off us. That's actually what the church is meant to be, a tiny little foretaste of that final world after it's been redeemed. But what gives us great hope is that what God has started, he will finish. One day when Christ returns, this redemption will be completed. If our faith is in Jesus, we will love God perfectly on that day. We will love each other perfectly. Every one of us in the new creation will know and experience God's love. As a result, there'll be no bad news. There'll be no exploitation, no oppression, no theft, no chronic health conditions, no mental health struggles. We'll all love one another perfectly. We won't need to lock our houses. In fact, we'll leave the front doors wide open because it'll be an absolute delight to us to welcome each other in and offer hospitality. We won't need to ask each other, are you going okay? Because we just will be. This is the spectacular vision that Zechariah had of the full and final redemption that God was bringing. Zechariah could just about taste it. No wonder he broke into prophetic song. But then as we keep reading, we see that Zechariah's excitement continues. And it continues as he tells of his boy's role in this act of God's redemption. We see this in verse 76 as he turns to address his newborn son. He says this, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." As I said, he now turns to address his boy, his son, John, the child he never expected to be able to have. And he tells him that he will be called a prophet of the Most High God. He will prepare the way for the Lord. He will be a forerunner of God's redemption. And his role will be to give the people a knowledge of the salvation that God's come to offer, the knowledge that God's come to forgive their sins. This probably would have been out of step with the expectation of many in Israel at the time. In probably many of the circles that Zechariah ran in, the redemption, the salvation that most people were looking for was political redemption, political salvation. And yet part of John's job was to correct that. His job was to show that their greatest need for deliverance was from their sin. They needed forgiveness more than political liberation. But then as Zechariah goes on, he tells his boy how he'll show the very heart of God to those around him. He'll show people that it's because of the tender mercy of God that will cause the rising sun that will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death and guide our feet into the path of peace. John will show God's people that it's actually God's mercy that towers behind this dawn of salvation, this path of peace. Now, of course, this rising sun, which John will testify to, is none other than the Lord Jesus, who is yet to be born. He will be the one who will finally bring about this salvation, this redemption that Zechariah has been talking about, and who John will be the forerunner of. This is a massive deal, right? And not just for the Jews, this is a deal for all of humanity. Jesus has come to forgive sins. He's come to undo the effects of the fall. No wonder Zechariah is excited about his son's role in all of this. He gets to be a forerunner of the most significant event in human history. We've got some time off coming up over Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's. And so we're planning up, heading up north to visit my family. And we've got loads of memories of visiting my family. A lot of them really great memories. This is a view from my brother's front deck. And this is actually where one of probably Biebs's fondest memories comes from. This was a number of years ago. We were up there, and I think we were there for a party or something. And so there was lots of people staying there, and all five of us were jammed in one room. Two parents, three kids. And Alex was still a baby at the time, and he'd woken up really early. It was still dark, and she didn't want him to wake up the rest of us. So she grabbed Alex from the cot and grabbed the blanket and went outside and found a chair sort of around the fire that would sort of burn low. And as she snuggled Alex, she got to see this transition from darkness to that sort of grey of pre-dawn, until at last she got to witness the sun come up, burst forth from behind that mountain that you can see there. I mean, the way that Beavs tells it, she was dead tired at the time, but it was breathtaking. And this is what Zechariah is seeing his son will be. He'll be like that grey of pre-dawn. He'll be the one that would herald the rising sun of the Lord Jesus. So Zechariah is absolutely excited about his son and his role in pointing people to the Saviour. If he was around today, he'd definitely be posting that all over social media. Zechariah is just absolutely thrilled that his boy's going to be part of this worldwide redemption of God's people. And as we think about this, as we think about how this applies to us, while our children might not be prophets like John was, maybe there is an application here for those of us with kids. Are we excited about our kids knowing and loving the Lord Jesus and pointing others to him as much as Zechariah was? Is this what gets you excited for your kids above all else? In our parenting course that we ran this past term, this is one of the things that we talked about. As Christian parents, one of the things that we should want most for our kids is that they know and love the Lord Jesus, and that they actually make him known to those around them. Is this true of you? And if it is, how do you express this in the way that you raise them? In the way that you schedule your family life? In the way you use your time and your money and your energy. And really, what we should want for our kids is what we should want for ourselves too, isn't it? Maybe that's actually how we show them that Jesus is important, by knowing our Saviour ourselves and being excited about helping others know him as well. Because the reality is, if we're excited about our kids knowing the Saviour, Christmas is a fantastic time to talk to them about him. Surely this is the time to talk to our kids about Jesus. We have a fantastic opportunity in Christmas. So how can you be speaking to your kids about Jesus in the coming weeks? Maybe if you don't have kids, how can you be making the most of this time? Because this is similarly a really great time to be talking to those around us about Jesus as well. It's far less socially weird at Christmas time to ask people, what are you doing for Christmas? Do you go to church? Like, are you going to a church service somewhere? Obviously, talking about Jesus doesn't happen in a vacuum. So how can you be creating opportunities to do that? Maybe a first step for you is maybe even saying g'day to a neighbour, introducing yourself and wishing them a Merry Christmas. if you've already done that, maybe the next step that you could take is inviting some neighbours round for Christmas nibbles or drinks on your front lawn. Maybe do a bit of a street party. Maybe it might mean inviting someone to one of our Christmas services. Wouldn't it be beautiful if this Christmas time God would actually use us to hold out this same dawn of redemption? That God would use us like he used John to show others, give others the knowledge of the salvation. Zechariah has been super excited about seeing this dawning of the Saviour. This has been really exciting, and this should be really exciting for us as well, because he's our Saviour too. He's come to redeem us from our own sinful hearts and restore us to what we were made for. And not just us, the world. We want to let that excite us this Christmas season. And then surely we want that excitement to flow out of us to our kids, but also to those around us, shouldn't we? Why don't we pray that that would be the case? Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you that at Christmas we can remember the dawning of your salvation in the coming of your Son. We thank you that he heralds this great work of redemption that you've started in us and that you'll complete one day. Lord God, we look forward to the day when you will have completely redeemed our sinful hearts and we will love you perfectly and we'll love each other perfectly. And we so look forward to seeing what our world looks like when that happens. Lord God, please let that excite us this Christmas. And let that excitement spur us on to hold this out to our kids and to our neighbours and our friends and our co-workers and all those that you've put in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.